Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke 23, verses 35 to 43. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." An inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the king of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our ever-living King, dear fellow redeemed. What a fitting way to conclude this church year with this festive celebration of Christ the King. We look back over this church year, we see that Jesus has again been ruling and controlling everything for our good. Yes, even this lengthy pandemic and high inflation, it's for our good, ultimately for our eternal and spiritual welfare. For during this past year, the Lord Jesus has always been present with us, present in our lives, in our hearts, in our homes, in our private devotions, our family devotions, present with us. We come worship him, his word, and his sacraments. As we look forward to this new church year, we can be convinced and assured he'll again be the King who rules over everything in heaven and earth for his believers, for you and for me. And because of that, we can be certain and unafraid, whether there be good or bad economic news, whether there be good health or bad health, whether there be war or whether there be peace. In fact, any and every circumstance in the future, we can be assured and unafraid because Jesus, our King, rules over all things for the welfare of his subjects. There are many scripture passages, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that talk about the Messiah or Jesus being king. We read three of them this morning, and there are more. The one you have chosen this morning for our sermon meditation may seem like a very odd choice, being this the end of the church year and Advent and Christmas coming up. That text is normally chosen for Lent or Good Friday. It was chosen especially because in this text we find out what kind of king Jesus is. We hear of a person just like us confessing Jesus as his king, the condemned criminal. And so our theme is, the criminal sees the king. First point, he sees a king whom the world does not see. Our text begins with these words, "And the people stood looking on." Hundreds, perhaps thousands of people saw Jesus hanging there on the cross on that Friday some 2,000 years ago. The city of Jerusalem was packed with Jewish worshipers from all around the known world. This was the Passover, one of the three major holidays of the Jewish people. The execution of criminals by crucifixion was done in the most conspicuous of places for everybody to be able to see as a deterrent. See that? That's what's going to happen to you if you do those crimes. What a wisdom from God, having Jesus crucified where and when exactly at his time. The Jewish leaders wanted Jesus to be killed quietly. Secretly. In the back alley would be good for no one to know about it. But he wasn't. We're told in verse 27 of Luke 23, we are a great multitude of people were standing there around Jesus. And all of them had focused their eyes on him. The man in the middle. The man with his crown of thorns crushed into his head. The man with the sign above his head. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Was there more, evermore, an unlikely looking king? These people didn't look upon Jesus as being king. Some of them may have thought that he might have been. They heard Jesus speaking in Jerusalem. They heard about his miracles that he performed. Some of them might have thought, maybe this is the Messiah, the king. In fact, just 5 days earlier, on what we call Palm Sunday, thousands came out to welcome him, waved branches, took off their coats, and said, "Hail, King! Welcome to Jerusalem." But they must have been wrong. They were looking for a king who would set them free from Roman rule, crush the Roman oppressors, and set them free. But now their hope was crushed. This man must have been a fake. He must have been an imposter. He must have been a miserable failure. The Jewish leaders, in their bitterness and hatred of Jesus, began to make fun of him. "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." Instead of leading people to Jesus as the religious leaders, they drew him away from Jesus. Instead of praising him as a king, they made fun of him as a king. "Oh, what a king. He supposedly saved others. Well, then save yourself. If you're the chosen one, prove it. Come on down from the cross," they cried. These religious leaders saw only with their eyes. Their hearts were blind and dead. And as so often happens, the simple people began to join in the taunts and the jeers. Their own soldiers, who probably didn't know Jesus that much or know as much about him, they began to join in too. "King, what a joke. This man a king? Yeah, if you're the king, come on, save yourself." They didn't really care about Jesus doing something like that. They just joined in on the fun. But by doing that, unknown to them, they were fulfilling the prophecy in Psalm 69, verses 19 to 21, where we read, "You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." And even Pontius Pilate joined in the mockery. He wanted to know the people what Jesus was guilty of, but he also wanted to ridicule the Jews, and so he put a sign, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." In other words, "You Jewish people, if you don't want Caesar as king, this pathetic man is the only kind of king you can have." Pontius Pilate and the other unbelievers didn't look upon Jesus as real king. That sign was a joke. But it was the truth. Jesus is the king. It's amazing how Jesus can use the unbelief of unbelievers and their actions, the foolish actions of unbelievers, to state scriptural truth. But there was one more person, the most unlikely person, who also joined in on the ridicule of Jesus. He didn't respect the man who was being crucified next to him. He said, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." Not even a condemned criminal could see Jesus as king. All these people, the crowd of Jewish people, religious leaders, the Roman soldiers, Pontius Pilate, the condemned criminal, did not see Jesus as the real king. They saw with their eyes and laughed in ridicule and mockery at such a foolish sight. They had no sympathy, no compassion. Whoever saw a king such as this? But the Lord provided one person there who saw with his heart. He didn't believe what his eyes or his mind told him. He believed what he had learned and heard. And that was the thief on the cross. The thief said to the other criminal, trying to stop his mockery, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." All three men were under the same sentence. All three men were going to be dead in a few hours. And yet there's a big difference between them. Two of them deserved it, one did not. Jesus had done nothing wrong. The others, their crimes were deserving of death. And those two would soon have to stand before their God and face the judgment. Our second point this morning, he, this criminal, sees a king who will take him to paradise. From these words of this condemned criminal, we see that the Holy Spirit was working and active in his heart. He was hearing what Jesus was saying. He was hearing the mockery of the people that he was a king and they made fun of it. And the Holy Spirit worked in his heart repentance and the godly trust and confidence that this person next to him was his Savior, was his God, was his King. This condemned criminal knew that he was a sinner. He would be condemned for his sins before God. And he also knew that the only one he could turn to and look to for forgiveness of his sins was a man who was there next to him, dying on the cross for him. He said, unlike the others, he didn't believe what he saw. He didn't believe his human reason. He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That was not only a cry for help, but it was also a confession of faith. With a troubled conscience, he's crying out, "Jesus, Lord, remember me." The word remember doesn't mean to think about me. Remember that way. It's to turn to me again in grace and mercy. You could translate it, "Have mercy upon me." God himself used the very same word, only in Hebrew. In the Old Testament, when he had mercy on Noah, he said, "The Lord remembered Noah and saved him and his family from the flood." Had mercy on Noah. He used the same word again with Abraham. He said, "The Lord remembered Abraham and his nephew Lot and spared Lot and his daughters from destruction in Sodom and Gomorrah." So these words, "remember me," means the man understood and believed that Jesus was his Savior who could give him mercy and grace. But he also believed that this man suffering the cross was his King. He said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Even though Jesus looked like a common criminal being condemned, a defeated man being ridiculed by the people, anything but a king, this repentant believer was led to look upon Jesus as his Lord, as his Savior, as his King. He didn't know when that would be, when this suffering king would someday in glory enter into his kingdom. But he's saying, "When you do, King, when you do, Lord, enter your kingdom, have mercy on me. Remember me." What a shock. What a surprise it must have been. And what joy must have entered into his heart when he heard Jesus say to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." The condemned criminal simply asked grace and mercy on judgment day. And now he's told today. As his body would die, cast in a garbage pit somewhere, but his soul would go with Jesus in paradise. In paradise, the criminal will be set free from all suffering, sorrow, and pain, set free from his sins, set free to be able to rejoice and enjoy heaven forever. So do we acknowledge the fact that we're just like that condemned criminal? Well, we may not have done something so bad that the government's going to put us to death, but we're just like him, filled with sins, sins of thought, sins of words, sins of actions. Our sins condemn us before our God. Our sins separate us from our God. And so do we also look at Jesus and see him, the suffering king on the cross, as being a king who conquers our enemies, sin, death, Satan, and hell, a king who has given us heaven as our home, in which we too will rule together with him forever. The world today still looks upon Jesus as not a king. Oh, he's a great man. He's a kind man, a loving man. But he died for his beliefs. The world looks upon the way to get to paradise as their own. Being good. Trying your best. Saying your prayers. Doing penance. All kinds of good things. Or if there even is a paradise after all. But we alone, along with this criminal, this condemned, believing criminal, see Jesus as a king who conquered our enemies. See Jesus as a king who will take us away from all of the sin and sorrow and suffering and death. A king who says, come into my kingdom and rule with me. On this Christ the King Sunday, we praise our Savior King for all that he's done for us. And we eagerly look forward to that day, either the day of our death or the day of Christ's return, when he will say to us, today, you'll be with me in paradise. That's a promise from our King, a promise from our King to all of his subjects, all of his repentant subjects who believe in him. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our King, our Savior Jesus. Amen.